All right, thank you so much for being here. Let me pull one of my 75 pairs of glasses out of here. And I got rid of the red ones. I appreciate people buying me glasses like that. And those red ones will do somebody a good reading, just not me. But anyway, I was at the prison one time, and again, as my eyesight had been going as far as reading, but I was at a prison service, and sure enough, I forgot my glasses, and there's, I guess, at least 100 ladies in there, and so I went to read my Bible, and it went, red letter edition's worse. Like, the red letters, I have a really hard time seeing. Black, I can sometimes fake it, but I can't when it's red letter, and sure enough, that night, I was reading in the Gospels, and I could not, I couldn't read it. And I just looked at the lady and said, I'm really sorry, but I need a pair of glasses. Does anybody have a pair of glasses? And sure enough, on the front row was a lady with a pair of pink glasses. I said, I'm sorry. My masculinity will not let me do that. And so I didn't wear her glasses. And I don't know. This younger generation, and I don't know what their fondness with pink, I'm telling these fellas, but they're weird, all right? My son Samuel, I don't know how he got himself a pink tie, but you know, I thought he was normal up until then, and he's lost it, and I don't know what his problem is, but you know, when the kids get to be older, I kind of let them do, I mean, as long as I don't do anything anti-scriptural, but I tell you what, he's an idiot, but anyway, you just pray for him. I don't know what to tell you, all right? My kids sometimes do some strange things, but anyway, they got that side from their mother. But anyway, hopefully it'll straighten out as he gets older. But anyway, all right, Revelation chapter number 4 tonight. Revelation chapter number 4 is where we're at this evening. Church, this chapter is 12 times in this one chapter. It talks about God on his throne. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. And what does that mean to us, not just in the future, but what does that mean to us now? So yes, it'll be hopefully educational, informational, but hopefully it'll, again, help us as Christians tonight. Father, again, I want to stop and say again, thank you for your word and these people that I have an opportunity, Lord, to be able to speak to. And Lord, may it not be me, but you. May the Holy Spirit have its way in our hearts tonight. May we not get sidetracked or miss what you have for us. Thank you that we can come boldly to the throne. And Lord, may you again hear our prayer and give us that mercy and grace that you talk about in the scriptures. Now, Father, again, give us liberty tonight. Bless the things next door. Again, put your hand on it. Thank you again for our visitors with us tonight also. Bless them. Give them something from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, let's, church family, again, I want to say a few things you already know about the scriptures, but again, in context, let's look at these together. We understand that in Revelation number 1, this book is not the revelation of John. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, okay? The word revelation simply means to unveil, means to uncover. We understand that this book does not uncover the Antichrist. This book, Revelation, uncovers Jesus Christ. Sometimes we miss that whole book is not about the tribulation period as much as it's about what Jesus is going to do during the tribulation period, all right? And so that's what this is. So chapter number 1, introduction to the book, and then Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Brother Bond, can you turn me down just a shade? I feel like I'm yelling at people tonight. Thanks for doing that. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is the seven churches of Asia Minor, all right? We refer to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Again, John was writing those seven churches, and I know, I don't know if you've done an in-depth study of the book of Revelation, but it's enjoyable to see what the Lord's given to us and has shown us through the scriptures. So the seven churches. Those seven churches are a picture of not only the seven literal churches, but seven types of churches, seven types of church members, seven pieces of church history. And I believe that. I've met pastors before that say they don't think those seven churches have to do anything with church history. And I don't know how you read that and not figure out it's talking about church history, okay? But that's just me. But when you get to the end of chapter number 3, and we're in this Laodicean age, and I believe that's the day that we're living in, lukewarmness, the rights of the people, all right? I think that's where we're living right now. It's interesting when you go from chapter number 3 to chapter number 4 that you have a big change, all right? Now, here, think for just a moment here. I can't quote it, so would you look at chapter 1, look at verse number 19. The key verse to the entire book is Revelation 1:19. Jesus told John, verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, phrase number 1. Phrase number 2, and the things which are, and then phrase number 3, and the things which shall be hereafter. That is the key verse to the book of Revelation. And so when he says in verse number 19 there, he says, write the things which thou hast seen, that's chapter number 1. And we don't have time to teach all that tonight, but that's chapter number 1. Then when he says, and the things which are, that's chapters 2 and 3, because those seven churches were literal churches that John was writing to, the things that are. when he mentions the last phrase of verse number 19 of chapter number 1, and he says, the things which shall be hereafter, that's chapter 4 to the end of the book, chapter number 22. Those are the things that shall be hereafter. Now, aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Because you don't have to spend 1 second in the tribulation period. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of weird thinking out there, all righty? And you're going to find out that there are even Baptists that believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation period. Some think it's going to go, they're called mid-tribbers, where they think that we're going to go halfway through the tribulation period. There are others who think that we're going to go through the entire tribulation period, then Jesus Christ is going to usher in his kingdom. I'm thankful that according to the scriptures, I think it's pretty clear that we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation period begins. All right. Now, how do we know that? To me, this next chapter, chapter 4, verse number 1, is one of the very clearest evidences that we're not going to be here during the tribulation period. Because in chapter number 3, you have the seven churches of Asia Minor. Laodicean age just gets done at the end of chapter number 3. Now look at chapter 4, verse number 1. Chapter 4, verse number 1 says this, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a, what's the word? Trumpet talking with me, which said, what's the next three words? Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in where? Heaven, one sat on the throne. Let me just quickly stop and say, John is on the island of Patmos, and he is getting this vision that he is writing down. I don't believe John literally went to heaven. I believe that he was in the vision of it all. He was in heaven because he's writing the book of Revelation. And so he gave those seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. And then, all of a sudden, the vision shows him he's immediately in heaven. But you notice a couple things took place. There was a trumpet sounding as of a trumpet. And then there was a shout, or that phrase, come up hither. Now, all you have to do is go to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18, and 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 58. And it's pretty clear that in a twinkling of an eye, the shout's going to be given, trumpet's going to be blown, and I think that's what the shout's going to be. Come up hither. By the way, that could happen right now. All the crazy things going on in the world right now, it would be nothing for all of us to be missing and the Antichrist to come on the scene and say, okay, let's peace, let's bring this thing together. All this chaos is going on, whatever excuses they're going to use, we won't be here for that, all righty? 7 years of tribulation period on the earth, 7 years in heaven, Great White Throne, Judgment Seat of Christ, Marriage Supper of the Lamb. We understand all that's going to take place. Now watch me tonight. I've got one thought I'm trying to get to. But again, chapter number 4 is God on his throne. Church family, the first thing that John saw when he got to heaven was God on his throne. Guess what the first thing you're going to see when you get to heaven? God on his throne. That's what you're going to see. My father's in heaven. I want to tell you, I wasn't there when he went to heaven. Died of a heart attack, age 58, driving down the road. But I can guarantee when he took his last breath, heart stopped beating, the first thing he saw was God on his throne. When you die, if you're saved, the first thing you're going to see is God on his throne. All right? And by the way, God's still on his throne. God sees from his throne. God hears from his throne. God dictates from his throne. God's on a throne in heaven. The Bible says, Hebrews, on the book of Hebrews also, that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Jesus, who died for us, his blood was shed, came to this earth 33 and a half years, and then he paid our sin in full. He died, was buried, rose again the third day, now to sit on the right hand of the Father. That's where he's at right now. Now, follow a little bit here in chapter number 4, all right? Verse number 3, he says, and he that was to, talking about God on his throne, and he that was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, it's trying to give us, if in our mortal eyes, what God is like on his throne. I don't think that we can understand until we get to heaven fully what the rainbow, like an emerald, this sea of crystal, crystal glass, this sea of crystal going across in front of him. In this chapter here, the four beasts that are going to be flying around, that are full of eyes, that are saying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. It's hard for us to comprehend this, okay? But God gives us a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. Look at verse number 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Now, church family, tonight, there's no way for me to teach tonight and go through in detail tonight. But again, I can give you whatever material. I mean, I've written lessons on these before. We've had Sunday school lessons on the 24 elders before. It goes through the scripture. But the 24, what's the number? How many? What's 24? 24. We believe that 12 of those are the apostles, and the other 12 of those are the 12 tribes of Israel. What does that represent? Old and New Testament saints. All right, 12 tribes of Israel, all the Old Testament saints. 12 apostles, all New Testament saints. We're considered a New Testament saint. If you're saved tonight, you know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. Whenever you read the book of Revelation and you see the phrase 4 and 20 elders, that's you. Amen. That's future you, because that's including all those that are saved as far as the 4 and 20 elders, Old and New Testament saints alike. All right, so let's look at verse 4 again. And round about the throne were 4 and 20 seats, and upon the seats I saw 4 and 20 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Obviously, the five crowns that are mentioned that we're going to get as far as in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings. In other words, where God's sitting, proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God. So God the Father, on the right hand of him is Jesus Christ, the Lamb, capital L, and then the 7 spirits representing the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now think about this, 4 beasts full of eyes. Brother Schofield, do you mind helping me with that, if you guys are able to? They're going to just put me a chair down here to represent the throne tonight, so that we can have, just to take the one on the end if you don't mind, all right? Are you two capable? Those are really heavy chairs, all right? Hopefully you two can do that. Now, just remember, while they're moving that chair, I want you to think for just a moment here, what the Bible's talking about, Revelation number 4, he's talking about these 4 beasts that are mentioned, and he's going to describe those 4 beasts. Look at verse number 7. And the first beast was like a lion. Thank you, fellas. The first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. So, a lion, a calf, a man, an eagle. Verse 8. And the 4 beasts had each of them wings, 6 wings about him that were full of eyes within. Now, I don't know about you. This is getting a little scary. All righty? Think about this. There's 4 beasts, all right? One's got a face like a lion. One's got a face like a man. One's got a face like an eagle. What was the last one? Calf, am I correct on that? He had a face like a calf. And the Bible says they had 6 wings on them, and on the inside of their wings, they were full of eyes. Now, is that scary? All righty? But when we think about these beasts, these are not the kind of beasts, these ferocious animals. That's not what it's talking about here. It's just a description of these 4 creatures that are about the throne. By the way, I think they're about the throne right now. And the only thing the Bible says they do day and night is give honor to God. That's it. Holy, holy, holy. Look what he says here in your Bible. So I don't want to quote it wrong either, but last phrase, verse number 8. What are they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts, those 4 beasts that are giving glory to God, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne. Who's sitting on the throne? Talk to me. God is. Who liveth forever and ever, the 4 and 20 elders fall down. Who's the 4 and 20 elders? It's us. That's Old Testament saints, New Testament saints. They fall down. Look what happens. The 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the what? All right, now, Trisha, how many songs do we sing that we're going to cast our crowns at Jesus' feet? All right. I'm just trying to tell you that the picture here is that God is the one that's on the throne, and we're casting the crowns at God's feet. I know, I'm splitting hairs. I don't mean to split hairs. Jesus is God, God is God, Holy Spirit is God. I completely understand. But literally, the Bible says we're going to cast our crowns at God's feet, at the throne. All right? Are you with me so far? Say amen. Amen. Look what he says next. He says, now, you're going to cast your crowns at the throne. Then verse number 11, I like this verse. Here's what we're going to say, the 4 and 20 elders, all that are saved, here's what we're going to say. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, that means choice, purpose, desire, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Church family, who is going to say verse number 11? We are. The 4 and 20 elders are the ones that are saying this, and we are that 4 and 20 elders, and we're the ones that are going to do that. Now, church family, again, I know that I could take the scripture tonight, and be honest with you, if you would like to have the notes as far as this throne, I'd be glad, I can email them to you in a heartbeat, okay? But because of time tonight, I need you to use your memory just a little bit, okay, without us going to all the scriptures tonight. We understand about this throne that there are 3 groups of people that are, now, let me back up. Let me first say, everyone is going to come before that throne. I want to break it down into 3 groups for just a moment, okay? But every person who's ever lived and that will live is going to come before this throne of God. and whether you're a believer or unbeliever, all right? Now I want to start off with the unbeliever, okay? When will the unbeliever stand before the throne of God? Great white throne judgment, all right? Again, I'm sorry for not taking time, but if you'd want to read Revelation chapter number 20, you're going to find it the great white throne judgment. Am I doing that correct, Father? I think Revelation chapter number 20 is the great white throne judgment. Second coming of Christ, great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, and it talks about how the books are going to be opened, and when the books are opened, they're going to be judged according to their works. When you get to the last verse, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. We understand that every person that's not found in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, no matter how good of works they had, they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. Are we all together so far?
Yes,
so two things is going to happen to the unbelievers at this throne. They're going to be judged according to their works, and at the judgment, at the great white throne judgment, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's the two things. Judged according to their works, then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire according to Revelation number 20. All right, now I'm trying to get somewhere tonight, but we have to understand what's going on. Where's God at right now? God's where? Talk to me. God's on his throne. Where's his throne? So God is on his throne, and he is in heaven right now, okay? One day, and again, I better not get sidetracked. One day, at the great white throne judgment, all those who are in hell and all those who will come stand at the great white throne judgment because of the battle of Gog and Magog, they're going to stand before God, and their names not be the Lamb's Book of Life, they're going to be cast like a fire. That's one thing that's going to happen for unbelievers. Now, let's talk about believers for just a moment, all right? Now, this is where I want to go tonight, okay? The second group that is going to be at the... I'm talking about three groups tonight, quickly. Number one is the unbelieving group. That's the great white throne judgment. I want to talk about Christians tonight in two different groups because there are believers in heaven, but there are believers on earth. And that's the two groups I'm going to get to. The one on earth is us, and I want to talk to you for that for just a few moments tonight about that. But out of those three groups, unbelievers, great white throne judgment. Believers in heaven, what judgment is that involve? Okay, thank you very much. All right, so the believers are going to come before this throne at the judgment seat of Christ. All right, that's where the rewards are going to be passed out. That's what the scripture calls, or what we refer to as the Bema seat. Alrighty, and that's where how we live our lives on this earth. We're going to come before the throne of God. God's going to reward us accordingly. Alrighty, so that's the judgment seat of Christ. Now tonight, again, it won't take me just a few more minutes tonight, probably, and we're doing good on time. But I just want you to think for just a moment here. What does God's throne have to do with me now? You know, God is on his throne, and he's not going to leave that throne because he is King. He is God. He created everything. Okay. But God made an opportunity for us to be able to come before that throne, and it's only for those two purposes that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 4, all right? And that's what I want you to think about for just a few moments tonight. Would you turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, and here's the thought. When it comes to the throne, and with me on earth and God in heaven, how do I get to the throne? What is God going to do with the throne? What's the throne all about for me as a Christian now, okay? Now look at your Bible. I'm going to flip over there too, if you don't mind. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse number 16. All right. While you're turning, let me back up to verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hey, aren't you glad Jesus can feel your infirmities? Church, listen to me tonight. There's some of you tonight that have, can I use the term here, feeling of our infirmities? There's some of you tonight that are carrying burdens, heaviness of the heart, things that you, they're burdens. They're things that you carry that you, man, I just have a hard time with this. I read an email today, a person just going through a rough time. Sometimes people call me. In fact, 3 days ago, I'm guessing now, a person called text me and just, I'm just, rough time. You know, we go through those things. But can I just tell you, according to that verse right there, you're not alone. Because the Bible says he is not. In other words, he feels our infirmity, what we're going through. Now, he's God, and he created us, but he knows what we're going through. All right? Now, look what he says next. This is kind of interesting. In verse number 15, he said, for we have not a high priest, that being Jesus, which cannot be touched without the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, verse 16 is about the throne. Here's what I want you to catch tonight. Let us therefore come boldly unto the what? Throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, I really feel like that so many times we as well as our children have been programmed to pray. Now, we don't pray this way, but this is how we pray, though we don't pray these words. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is how we oftentimes are programmed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. This sometimes is how we pray when we come to church. Father, would you please help all these that are sick to get well and all these that are lost to get saved. Amen. And what I'm trying to tell you is this, is that sometimes we do not envision in our mind that I'm actually coming before a throne. Amen. And God's sitting there. Amen. And God knows what I'm going through and feels what I'm going through. We get our Christian life, if we're not careful, we get it so mechanical that we get our prayers done, but they're not getting delivered. We get through our prayers, but we're not getting to where the prayer is supposed to be going. We're not getting to God. And it's because we do not envision God when it comes to God is sitting on a literal throne. And I know it takes faith. Hey, church family, how do millions and millions of Christians all pray at the same time and God hears every prayer individually and answers accordingly? He's God. It's faith. He created you. He saved you. Now, if you can have enough faith to believe that you have a home in heaven, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, and you've got access to his throne, then why don't you pray like you believe that? Amen. Why don't you understand that whatever heartache, whatever failure, whatever financial difficulty, whatever the problem is, he has a feeling for your infirmity. He's in touch with your problem. And all God wants you to do is to come boldly to the throne.
Amen.
Come boldly. Where was that today? I was by the Kansas River. I was out there this afternoon praying and reading, quoting. There was a homeless guy out there, and he was dragging his tent to one of those water spigots, and one of the city guys come through. I was eavesdropping. I'm just letting you know. I eavesdropped the whole. I listened to everything they said. Okay, but I was quite a distance from them. But they were yelling. The guy's mower was on. That's why I was eavesdropping. They're just speaking loud. I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but I did eavesdrop. Okay, I'm just letting you know. All right, don't talk too loud. I'll hear what you're saying. Okay. Hey, you want to really? This is kind of funny about eavesdropping. I have a camera inside the gymnasium. I don't have a camera. I'm sorry. The church has a camera inside the gymnasium. And so, when I was getting ready tonight, I wanted to watch what was going on, you know, with VBS. I thought about putting it up for you all to see, you know, kind of so we can watch what's going on next door because it's kind of fun. But anyway, last night they got done with VBS, and it was just funny. Anyway, last night they got done with VBS, and I watched the end of the service. I don't know why I was not there particularly, but I was watching it because I was, you know, I want to know what's going on, how things are going. And I'm a control freak, I guess. But anyway, so I'm watching what's going on. And the service ends, and the kids are having a blast. And Brother Daniel shoots the candy on top of everybody. So the kids are everybody watching out. But for whatever reason, I left it on. While I was working, I left the video thing on. And the church members were right underneath the camera talking. And I got to listen to some good stuff. How many want to know what I heard? Raise your hand. How many would like to know who was underneath the camera? It wasn't you, Brother Smith, so you're okay. All right. So anyway, all right, so back to where I was eavesdropping. I was eavesdropping these two guys that were out there today. And this guy pulls his tent over there to be able to try to wash it off. And the city guy that's mowing, he comes up to him and he says, hey, of course he's yelling because he got the mower on. He says, hey, what can I do for you? What are you doing? He says, I'm trying to clean my tent. And he tells that guy, and he says, so the homeless guy says to the guy that works in the city, do you have a hose for me to wash it? He says, no, I'm sorry, we don't have a hose out here. He says, how about that fire hydrant, the hydrant over there? It'd be a lot easier for me to do. Can I do it over there? He says, well, it's locked. The homeless guy says, well, can you open it? I'm sure you got a key. Can you open it? He says, no, they don't give me keys. I'm listening to this entire conversation, and this homeless guy does not stop asking for things. I mean, as soon as he says, I don't have that, he'd ask for something else. As soon as he says, I don't have that, he'd ask for somebody else. You know that fellow that was homeless, he had no problem boldly asking for anything. Can I tell you, you're a homeless bum too. And you need God, but you know what? God's got the key to the hydrant. And God's got the hose in the barn. And God's got everything that you need. All you need to do is be bold about it and say, hey, listen, this is what I need. Isn't it interesting in Hebrews 4, and again, I know you got your Bible there handy, but in Hebrews 4, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And then he says, for two reasons, all right? Read it there. What's the first reason? That we might obtain what?
Mercy.
And the second one, I think, if I'm doing the English words correctly, the second phrase is to find something. What was it?
Grace.
Okay, so he says, if when I'm praying, I'm supposed to be praying as if God is, as he is, he's sitting on a throne, he cares about me, he feels for me, he already knows what I'm going through, and all he's waiting for me is to boldly find what? I'm sorry, obtain what?
Mercy
and find what?
Grace.
So when I'm praying, God says, I want you to obtain, say it again, obtain what?
Mercy
and find what?
Grace.
All right. Now, children, you've heard me say before, mercy and grace, what's the difference? Mercy is God not giving me what I do deserve. Grace is God giving me more than I deserve. All right. Mercy is actually, it's the word compassion or kindness. The word grace actually comes from the word graciousness, benefit, all right? More giving something we don't deserve, all right? Now, church, can I just tell you tonight that God is on his throne. He knows exactly what you're going through. And not only does he know, he feels for you.
Amen.
So the only thing he wants you to do is he wants you to come before the throne and say, God, I need your help. I need to obtain mercy. I need you to show kindness to me. I need you to help me through this difficulty. And I need grace. I need you to give. Now, God wants to give you mercy and grace, and he's sitting on a throne, and he's saying, man, out of all the thousands and millions of people and Christians that are out there, how can God know about me? It's real simple. He's God. And when you look at Revelation, he's always been, always will be. So, can I just tell you, he is on his throne. And one day he's going to be on his throne when it comes to the great white throne judgment, and people are going to be cast into hell. And one day he's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ when the rewards are passed out for how we're living. But right now he's on his throne, waiting for you. That's what he's doing. He's waiting for you to stop complaining about your situation and start asking him for mercy and grace.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to stop doubting him because you don't have what you think that you need. He's waiting for you to ask for mercy and grace. He's kind of tired of us saying, man, I can't believe my kids are not doing what they're supposed to do. And he's waiting for us to ask for mercy and grace. Hey, can I just tell you, I'm thrilled about the steps that have taken place at the Capital City Baptist Church. But
Amen.
Church family, the Capital City Baptist Church will never become a reality if we don't have God's mercy and grace. So how do we get that? Come boldly where? Come boldly to the throne. Why do we have prayer time, personal prayer time? Personal prayer time is not a religious thing that we do in order to be able to find merit with God. Personal prayer time is for us to be able to get mercy and grace from God. He already knows what I'm going through. It's not a surprise to him. God, I know you didn't know about this. Let me tell you about it. God knows what you're going through. And he cares about it.
Amen.
Listen, I get, and rightfully so, I get emails, I get texts, and sometimes phone calls of people going through a hard time. And to be honest with you, there's sometimes that I talk to people that I don't know why they're going through, and I feel very bad that they're going through, and I wish I could change their situation, but I can't.
Amen.
I'm thankful that people trust as well as are concerned enough that they'll at least share with me, all right?
Amen.
This is nearing, I got your email today, in fact, as far as your doctor's appointment. What a wonderful thing, what the Lord's done for her and trying to help her. And we're going to need to continue to pray for her. But you know why that thing happened? Because there was a bunch of people who went boldly before the throne of grace, and God says, okay, I'm going to show mercy and grace.
Amen. That's right.
That Vacation Bible School, I think it's successful already because you think about it here. He told me, when I asked him before the service, and he told me between 150 and 160 kids came out to Vacation Bible School. To me, that's pretty good. That's a miracle.
Amen.
Amen. It's not that we don't want more, but man, 11, I'm going to tell you something. You know what that is? That's God's mercy and grace.
Amen.
Eight, eight of those young people bowed their head and prayed, accepted Jesus, asked Jesus to be their Savior.
Amen.
Why does that happen? Because of God's mercy and grace.
That's right.
God's mercy and grace. So tonight, if you are here and you're struggling your mind and on whatever your problem might be, and maybe it's a problem you can't share with anybody else, can I just tell you somebody that knows about it and cares about it more than anybody else, and it's God. Where's he at? He's sitting on his throne.
Amen.
And all he's waiting for you is to come boldly. You ever met anybody that's not ashamed to ask for anything? Now, be honest with you, I don't like takers. I mean, people who are just takers, you know, give me. But you know what God says? You can't ask for more than I can give.
That's right.
And you can't ask for anything that I can't do.
Amen.
That's right.
God says, I want you to be bold about it. I just want you to ask.
Amen, amen.
This morning, they were working at the Capital City Baptist Church this morning. And it was Josh and Brother Franklin, the two there. And I completely, when I set it up, I knew that was going to happen just because you got to work. And I was doing it in the morning, so it's not. I don't say that as a reprimand at all. But I knew it was just going to be a couple people, and I knew they needed more hands. So at 8 o'clock this morning, I went over to my kids, and I got Stephanie and Sarah and Susanna and Silas. The rest of the kids were gone. I only had four left at home when I got back this morning. And so I went to them, and I said, hey, listen, you're going to go with me over to Capital City Baptist Church. Okay, now I want to tell you, first of all, how I did not do it, okay? I didn't go to their rooms, and I opened up the door and said, good morning, would you please go with Daddy to go work in Topeka? That's how I did not do it, okay? I just want you to know, okay? I figured I'm Dad, they're sleeping in my bed, and they're eating my food. So I went to their doors, and I woke them up this morning and said, good morning, I'm leaving in 30 minutes to go to Topeka, and you're going with me. You should have seen the excitement. Can I tell you why I can do that? You know why I can boldly say you're going with me this morning? They're mine.
That's right. Amen.
I want to tell you why you can go boldly before the throne of grace, because you're His.
Amen.
My kids on the way out today. I had to stop and get gas on the way out to Topeka, and of all things, on the Oasis at the Topeka. Do you know what restaurants are there? There's a Dunkin' Donut. My kids are into these iced things that are weird, okay? And I said, hey, listen, let's go in, get your donut, get you something to drink. We should have seen their eyes light up. It's like heaven is here. I mean, it was crazy. Can I tell you something? When you come boldly before the throne of grace, your eyes light up. Amen. It's like, God, I'm sorry. I should have asked a lot sooner before now. I think some of our heartache, not all, but I think some of it, because obviously there's different reasons why God allows us to come in our life, but I think some of our stuff is self-inflicted simply because we don't boldly. God, I need mercy. God, I know I deserve what I'm getting. I just need mercy. Would you please show compassion? Would you please be kind to me? God, I need grace. Would you be very gracious to me? Would you give me more than I deserve? Would you please pour out your blessing? Would you open the windows of heaven? Would you please help me? Come boldly. Amen. Church, I'm looking forward to the day that we get to heaven. Because the first thing, immediately, Revelation 4, 1, 2, and 3, immediately he saw God on this throne.
Amen.
Chuck Thompson is the guy who had been kind of filling in for my dad for these 15 years. He's not really the pastor, kind of just a fill-in. But he was close to my father, and whenever I can do something for him, I try. And he's having a booklet made, and I'm printing it here through Merchant Church. It's not real big, it's really small, but he's going through cancer, and so he wrote his story out. It's called God and Glaucoma. Whatever the name of the cancer is, it's God. I think, is that what it is? But anyway, so that's it. So he wrote his story out about this cancer that he's going through. So he calls me day before yesterday, and he says, hey, I hate to ask, but that booklet that you're printing, is there any way I can get some copies of that book? And I said, I can do my best to get it for you. I said, when do you need them by? He said, my father passed away, and I'm going to the funeral, and I need them, you know, by this next Tuesday. So it got shipped out yesterday, I think. But his father is in good health, goes into the hospital, and 3 days later, he's dead. And he already had other things going on in his life. And, of course, you know how they always want to attach COVID to why he passed away. So they were going to put him on, I think, as on a ventilator, if I remember correctly, put him on a ventilator. And he looked at the nurse and said, I know where I'm going. Don't put me on a ventilator.
Amen.
So his family came in, said goodbye. And I thought he said 15 minutes, but within just minutes, I mean, he was coherent all the way up to it. And all of a sudden, he's done. He's in heaven. You know, I thought it was kind of interesting. that he told them, don't bother, I know where I'm going. And when he took his last breath, I'm not there and I wasn't with him, but from the scripture I am, because guess what the first thing he saw? God on his throne.
That's
right. Church, you know what you ought to see every day of your life? God on his throne. You know tomorrow morning when you get up, what you ought to see? God on his throne. Tomorrow afternoon when you're trying to figure out what the Lord's going to do about the mess you're in, can I tell you where you should be going? God on his throne.
Amen.
And you know what you ought to do? You ought to come boldly to ask for mercy, ask for grace. Because he already knows what you're going through, and he cares for you more than anybody else. God on his throne. Would you bow your head and close your eyes?